powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
All right, let's talk draft with NFL.com's Eric Edholm joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Eric, we're going to talk takeaways from UW's Pro Day and what the Seahawks do at pick number 16 overall. But I have to ask you first and foremost about your surprise pick at number 2 overall in your latest mock. Tell me why you have the Washington Commanders taking J.J. McCarthy.
Well, part of it is having a little bit of fun, but, you know, because this year, obviously, with the potential of 4 quarterbacks going high in this draft, nobody really knows the order. I don't instill betting lines or anything on this, but if I had to put a favorite, it would probably be Jaden Daniels. I know a lot of people have also mentioned Drake May as a possibility there, but I will say, I mean, a lot of teams have done a lot of work on JJ and have expressed a lot of interest in him, including Washington. I think they're strongly considering the possibility. If they stay put at that spot, most likely he would not be the pick. I know I just put him in a mock draft there, but I think he's at least been in the discussion. This is speculation. It's hard to really know, but if he doesn't go 2, he might go 3 to New England, or he might go 3 to the Vikings if they trade up, or 4 to the Vikings if they move up. I mean, I just don't think you're going to have to wait a long time to hear his name called on April 25th.
Eric, I look at the quarterbacks who are in this draft, and I feel like they're of 2 tiers, right? There's Caleb and Jaden Daniels, and to me, there's everybody else after that. Where they fall is up to the guys who are picking. But it's so hard for me to look at Michael Penix and say, oh, man, Drake May is so much better than him. J.J. McCarthy is so much better than him.
Right.
Is it simply the system that these guys are running that gives these GMs more confidence in them, their skills translating to the NFL? Or is it just Michael Penix was banged up, didn't play good against Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the injury history is probably the biggest thing, right? I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find an evaluator out there who said, this Penix kid doesn't have the arm or, doesn't have the talent to play in this league. I don't believe that's ever been the issue. I mean, I can remember hearing about him as an NFL prospect at Indiana prior to him even transferring. So, you know, NFL people have been on this guy for a while, but 2 season-ending shoulder injuries, 2 ACL injuries, you know, that's as red flags get. But he's done so much to challenge people, you know, like the idea of how much does past injury history matter? You know, can we sign off on him medically and feel good about him? And, you know, it's to the point where even though he didn't make my most recent mock, I think there's a chance he absolutely could be a first round pick, you know, depending on how quarterbacks go. You know, if Bo Nix were to somehow slip into round 1 and you know, go to a team like Denver, let's say, you know, maybe teams say, okay, we can wait on Penix because I don't know that, you know, the game of musical chairs and all that, there may not be a suitor, you know, willing to trade into round 1 if there's only 1 team left in that spot. But you never know. I think he's got a chance. I think he'll go in the top 40 picks or so one way or the other. But I think the injury is the biggest thing because you look at his age and you say, ooh, okay, he's a little on the older side for a prospect, but Joe Burrow's the same age and nobody seemed to bring that up back then. So I really think it's been the injury question. I do think you do have to cater your system to his strengths, similar to what Washington did. So if that's not the kind of offense you're going to run, maybe Michael's not your guy, but I'm with you. I hear, you know, people's putting him as the number 6 quarterback and, you know, he'll be a 2nd or 3rd round pick. And I think, I don't know, man, I think good things are ahead if he can stay healthy.
You have in this mock, and again, like part of it is coming up with a bunch of different scenarios. So this was not your first,
sure.
But you have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. And that has been something that many people have wondered whether that'll happen. I know a lot of people look at Arizona. They want to keep Kyler Murray and they wonder, okay, do they get their pick of Marvin Harrison Jr. or, you know, the next best player? Or do they trade back? You have Minnesota going up there, taking Drake May. I'm curious as to, your most interesting scenario, and it doesn't have to be this one in your latest draft, your most interesting scenario for the top four, because it is a really fascinating, you know, situation beginning at three.
Yeah, what happens if New England, let's say they have one quarterback in mind, you know, they're picking third right now, and they have one or maybe two that they really would, you know, assuming that Caleb isn't on their wish list, knowing that Chicago is very likely to take him at one. You know, let's say there's a real specific player that they would feel good about at three, and then nobody else kind of meets that level. Because, you know, for all the people screaming, you got to get a quarterback, you got to get a quarterback, what if they don't like the options they have, right? I mean, that's part of the deal. You have a first-time head coach. You have a new GM and, you know, de facto GM and Elliott Wolf. Alonzo Highsmith's come in there. Obviously, you guys know him from that area. He's going to help, you know, kind of shore up the personnel department. You know, what if they don't come to a consensus? There's been a lot of trade down talk with New England at three. So I think in the right or wrong, depending on how you look at it, the right scenario, they could move down. And now all of a sudden, is Arizona then left to, you know, is there somebody else still wanting to trade up at that point, or do they go pivot to the receiver or something like that? So I don't know that three, I think one and two are going to be quarterbacks to Chicago and Washington. I don't know that there's a whole lot of possibility of that changing, but everyone says the draft starts at four. I'm not 100% sure about that. I think it possibly could start at three, depending on who's available.
Who's a sneaky second round pick? A guy that you think maybe has, other than Penix, I guess he could slip to second, but a guy who has first round talent, but maybe people aren't talking too much about.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you'd look at some of the deeper positions, started like wide receiver. You know, I would say Ladd McConkey is an interesting one because people kind of, you know, the narrative on him is really good player, you know, good athlete, but probably a day two pick. You know, I think there's a possibility he could slide into the end of round one, but, you know, I would say round two is more likely. But you just watch the game tape, and look, I know he was hurt a little bit this year, and this is a run-heavy offense, and maybe we're playing the same games that you know, J.J. McCarthy fans are playing with Michigan, you know. But, you know, when you did see him get the opportunity to be a go-to guy in high-leverage situations, you know, the Missouri game, the Alabama game, Ole Miss, other games along the way the last couple of years, he's looked like a dude, like somebody who can, you know, maybe not be one of those electric, athletically blessed, you know, rare specimen types like a DK Metcalf or something. Of course not. He's not that guy. But he wins in a lot of the same ways that Jackson Smith and Jigba wins, with savvy creativity, quickness, you know, sharp cuts, precise route running. You know, that's kind of the player I think he is. And, you know, we saw the work that Jackson did in the red zone last year. Maybe in a different team, he'd have put up bigger numbers in year one. So, you know, I look at a guy like Ladd McConkey and think, I think he's going to be really good for somebody next year. I don't know who. I would say the other position might be offensive tackle. You know, a guy like Jordan Morgan from Arizona, with all the tackles that could go in round one, maybe he gets pushed down to the, you know, the mid-30s, early 40s. He's a good player. I mean, maybe he doesn't fit all the benchmarks for a left tackle, but last 2 years played very high level, I think.
We're talking with NFL.com's Eric Edholm. In your latest mock, you have the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, they're at 16. You have them sticking there. They're taking Washington offensive lineman Troy Fautanu. Now, we know about Troy here, clearly, as a local guy, but tell me what you liked about this pick.
Yeah, I think he was one of my favorite players to scout so far. I mean, again, I still have some guys that I'd love to watch more tape on, but I just feel like he's so clean in his approach. I think he's got really good discipline. You know, I think he's the kind of player who's going to, you know, maybe be kind of branded a guard by some people unfairly and say, well, okay, the length isn't ideal and let's move him inside. And he might do that and play really well. I don't think that's a negative, but I'd love to see him get the chance to play outside at some point. Obviously in Seattle, more likely inside than out right now, but, you know, just a really darn good offensive lineman. I think you could put him at any of the five positions and he'd end up being really good, athletically gifted. great recovery ability, almost never gets beat badly, competitive. I mean, feisty, smart, tough, checks off a lot of boxes. He just may not be that super mauler guy with, you know, 38-inch arms and unbelievable mass. So, you know, to me, I'd rather have the technician who just, you know, who reaches all the benchmarks as opposed to somebody who's way beyond them but doesn't have the football part of it as mastered as he seems to.
You have another interesting pick for me, man. Laiatu Latu at number 24, the kid was at University of Washington, then goes over to UCLA.
Yeah.
I'm looking at what the Rams are doing, man. They got Kobe Turner in the third round last year. If they were to grab this dude and add to that defensive line, they could just be replacing, not Aaron Donald to that level, but by committee Aaron Donald. What do you like about this dude, man? Looks like a great technician.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, kind of like we were talking about with Penix, I mean, the health questions are probably the you know, at least the biggest or one of the bigger concerns with his forecast. And, you know, there was the kid Jalen Phillips who came out of Miami a couple of years ago, or went to UCLA, rather, and then was at Miami, went to UCLA, ended up being a first-round pick. He's looked the part, and he had a very similar situation, medically retired. You know, he was out of football, didn't look like he was going to play, and then he came back, and a lot of NFL teams were skittish. The Dolphins said, we love the player. And I think in the end, that's what's going to happen with Latu is talent-wise, I think you'd say, especially in a draft like this where it's not real defense-heavy, you know, you'd say all things being equal, or if that wasn't as big a part of the narrative as it seems to be, maybe he's a top 15 pick. I think he'll go beyond that. I think he'll go after that if I had to guess, but yeah, I mean, a little thin on the legs, slower legs, look to be a little lean in that department. But if you've watched, let me think of a good comp style-wise, T.J. Watt comes to mind. I don't think he's going to be that good. But, like, that kind of a player, especially in an odd front, that kind of a defense, Steelers-type defense where he could stand up, drop, rush, you know, set hard edges in the run game, I think that's your guy. He lost a few reps in Mobile where he kind of got pummeled, but it was almost guaranteed that the next snap he got, he was going to get after the guy. So hard to beat him two reps in a row. And there's just a lot of effort on tape. There's a lot of electricity getting into the backfield. A lot of disruption.
It's a real interesting draft class, which I guess you could say every single year for different reasons. A lot of quarterbacks are going to be taken early. Great wide receivers. It's a good tackle class. You got a tight end who could be a top 10 pick. But it's not super deep, it would seem, at least on day one, Eric, when it comes to linebacker or defensive lineman, which is, unfortunately for Seattle, exactly what they need. Is this a class where, you know, maybe there's not a lot of top-end talent, but you can find some nice pieces deeper in the draft?
Yeah, I think defensive tackle, you know, it depends on the position. Wide receiver, you'll be able to find those guys pretty, you know, pretty deep into, you know, we'll be into the fourth round. They'll still be good receivers on the board. I think offensive tackle may not have quite that amount of depth, but it's pretty good. But to the positions you mentioned, which is defensive tackle, safety, linebacker, they're a little bit more on the shallow side. I will say the longer this process has gone on, the more D-tackle talent I think there is, especially as two kids from LSU just, you know, have worked out, Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo. You know, we've gotten some good reports on them. Both had some medical questions too. So it was like, okay, that you can add another two guys to the list. Dwayne Carter, a kid from Duke, and, you know, maybe he's only a third or fourth round pick, but he's really caught my eye in this process. And there's some players like Chris Jenkins from Michigan, who his dad played for the Panthers and didn't really have impressive stats. But the more I kind of drilled down on him, the more I realized how deep they were. I think he's worth that second round pick that a lot of people are projecting. So all of this is to say that I think D tackle is one where there should be some decent day three options. Less so at linebacker, but that position gets pushed down anyway because of the, you know, the importance of it in NFL defenses these days. But Edrin Cooper's really good. I think he'll be a top 50 pick all day. Peyton Wilson, if he's healthy, can go really high. So there's some good players at those positions for sure.
All right, Eric, don't blame me for this question. Blame the 49ers,
oh,
okay?
No.
Who could be Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy at the quarterback spot this year in this draft. Man. Who's a quarterback that people are just sleeping on who you think could make a splash in the league?
I don't know if there's a true – well, Jordan Travis is interesting because they have the Florida State quarterback who got hurt and, you know, probably his injury cost them a chance to get into the playoffs, and don't remind FSU people about that whole scenario. But, you know, he's small. He's not your typical build for this position, but I think we're in an era where a lot of that bias has been put to the side, you know, as long as you have some sort of basic – physical ability and you're not, you know, under a certain height. I mean, obviously there are exceptions, Kyler Murray and whatnot, but I think he has a chance. He has gotten so much better from when he first got to FSU. And I really feel like, you know, his injury kind of destroyed his pre-draft possibility. So he's going late. I don't know where, you know, round six, round seven, but it's probably in that range. He might be your guy. He hasn't really had a chance to do very much. So it's like we haven't seen him in a while, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
I guess if you're looking for another one, maybe Austin Reed from Western Kentucky. I'm not as big a fan as other people are, but Jordan Travis can play football.
I like that answer. Once you mentioned him, I was so heartbroken for him, and who wasn't,
yeah,
right? Watching
awesome.
What that team did. It was so cool. And it was, you're right. It's like everyone knew that's why FSU
yep.
wasn't one of those teams. So, I love that answer. That I really hope that happens for him. I'll have a fun time kind of watching to see what he can become in the pros. He is NFL.com's Eric Edholm, kind enough to join us with his mock. Eric, you're going to have a ton of fun later this month when this all actually yeah. kicks into high gear, and you have given us so much information to track. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, have a great day, you guys. See ya.
Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump, you sicko. Attendance was overall low this weekend for week one of the UFL, but of course you still watched. You have an addiction to football. What did you see that you feel will catch on in the NFL soon?
One, I want to say I saw this young man destroying. He's a YouTube star. He was in college. He was a punter, a kicker. And it was making money off his YouTube, and the university said either you shut down your YouTube or you lose your eligibility. He made money. So now
wow.
he's in the UFL doing his thing, man. He plays for San Antonio. I believe it was fun to watch him. But the thing I want to talk about is the True Line technology. It's exactly what it sounds like. It spots the football for you. No more guessing when it comes to did the ball cross the line? Is it a first down? Is it third and short or what? It was a game against Birmingham and Arlington. There was a situation where the running back runs the football, steps out of bounds, and the referee signals a first down. Like, nah, let's check that. And what happens is he was 5 inches short of the first down. And I love this because can you imagine how many games have been won or lost because of inches? Because you're going off of human responses and there's human error out there and we don't get it right all the time. This is so easy. The NFL should be able to do this if this ends up working. It's only week one, so they're going to be some glitches. You're going to have to work some things out. But why not do this on the UFL level and take it to the NFL? Spot the ball correctly. There was a point in time where someone put an index card in between the football and the first down marker, Stacey, to see if it was a first down or not. Let's make the refs' jobs easier, take it out of their hands, use the True Line technology. I'm all for it.
You know how sometimes if you don't have a ruler, I don't do this anymore with Home Improvement, but I used to and everything was crooked and messed up.
Yes.
You hold your hands like the distance from what you think you need, and then you just move your hands all together at once. Instead of taking an actual measurement, you try to mm-hmm. keep your hands very still while yeah. you move them. That still happens.
Yeah.
That's what's wild to me. Obviously not that egregiously, but it's funny to think of that kind of technology existing at a lower level of football in the NFL, not adapting.
You know what happened? I doubt she's listening, but my wife, we were at Lowe's and we wanted to put one of those sliding drawers in like the vertical cabinets, mm-hmm. right? She goes, well, it's about this wide. She holds up her hands. I go, don't do it, Jen. Don't do it. We're going to get there. It's going to be too thin
yep.
or too wide. It was way too thin. It's still at the house. It's been sitting there for 2 or 3 weeks now.
No, I've totally done that. Not with that exact thing, but that idea of being like, this looks about, I'm just going to eyeball it. And then, of course, you're wrong. Second down. Free agency creates a ton of drama and storylines, especially when it comes to schedules. So what will your favorite revenge game be this season?
there's some good ones going down, man. You got Philly against the Giants. Saquon Barkley and Tiki Barber going at it on X. You got Kansas City against the 49ers. Bang, bang, Niner gang, bing, bing. They guys are still in their feelings about this whole deal.
Niner gang, bing, bing, bang.
Hey, there it is. That was quick. Was that you, Matthew? Matthew, you are the greatest of all time. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, but I'm going to Denver, and I want to see Russell. I know people saying, let him go, let him go. I will never let Russell go. He's been such a big part of my sports journey in this state. I want to see him go over there and ball out against the Broncos. Our guy Eric had the Broncos taking Bo Nix at number 12. Let's see if they do that. It could be Russell versus Bo Nix. Let's go get him, Russell. I can't wait to see that game.
Third down. Why do you think the NFL is feeling pressure from the UFL?
They should feel pressure. And the reason why they should is because the NFL is doing a great job of being transparent with their officiating. When there is a something going on the field where guys don't agree, you can hear these conversations going down. They're allowing coaches to challenge any and everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You can challenge it. And I like that. Why not let these guys challenge? It's almost like the NFL, like, we'll change a little bit for you, but not too much. And it's going to have to go through the committee, and we're going to have to argue about this, pretty much take it to court. I understand the NFL has done a great job putting a product out there that everybody wants to see, at least most people want to see in this country. It's the most successful league. But now I'm like, again, use the UFL as your test dummy to see if this is going to get done. But I like the UFL in their approach with saying, if the NFL won't do it, we'll give it a shot and see what happens. So the transparency and hearing these conversations with the refs and then allowing coaches to challenge anything, I like it. I love it. I want more of it.
Fourth down. What is John Schneider saying that's making you more excited about the offense?
He's talking about that offensive line. And they brought Nick Harrison. They signed a couple other guys. And he's pretty much saying, we are going to bring guys in that you might not know about. And not too many of y'all know too many linemen. Name me 10 right now. Go. All right? You know, I mean, it's just the way this game is. The quarterbacks, the receivers, the linebackers, the safeties, the edge rushers, they all get the love because they're around the football more. And I understand that. But he's preparing everybody and saying, we're going to find guys that fit what we want to do here in Seattle. Even if they don't draft Troy at 16, if he's available, we'll see what they do there. They could just go for what they think is the best football player. But I love that he's addressing the offensive line early because you know the offense is going to have to lead the charge. And what have we been struggling with? Just play at that offensive line. You only had three guys play over 70 snaps last year. Injuries are you know what. So I like it, John. Go out there, get your offensive lineman, build this team around the quarterback, help him win you some ball games. I'm all for it.
Who do you think is the most famous offensive lineman ever in the NFL? Like, in your mind. So obviously this is all subjective. Someone from a different era is going to say someone else. But in your mind, is there such a thing as, like, oh, this guy is famous? So people locally are going to say Walter Jones, but
I say Big Ray Roberts.
Big Ray Roberts?
Big Ray Roberts, baby. But other than that, man, it's only what? Trent Williams has been, he's kind of changed the game. They line him up at fullback, and yeah, he's been a mess. But yeah.
I think a slightly older generation would say Anthony Munoz. But that's not what immediately came to mind for me because he.
What's the dude from Dallas who ran the dude down? Is it Lawson?
I have Orlando Pace and Joe Thomas
Orlando
on here.
Orlando Pace. Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas Joe is probably Thomas. More my generation of what I would immediately think of. I mean, 2007 to 17, like, to me, that would be someone who's...
Defensive linemen are way more popular than offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and again, all of it's generational. I have some people going 4 question marks with different names, and it's like, well, it's who comes to mind for you. Mm-hmm. Like, if I think of, quarterbacks immediately, I think Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I don't think of people who played before I was
I
watching.
I go Joe Montana, Dan Marino.
Right. Or if I think of, like, okay, who's a famous wide receiver? I'm like, Randy Moss, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, it's all generational. It's who
I think
you
that's
remember.
That's the one position where I think most people could settle around 5 guys.
A wide receiver?
Wide receivers, yeah.
If you said all time great.
Yeah.
Who would not say Jerry Rice? I know someone's out there, but they would be being difficult.
You would lose all credibility if you didn't say Jerry. You say Jerry, you didn't say Randy. Everyone's going to say those two names.
I know, and you could not. I think that if you tried to make an argument outside of one of those two, you're just trying to do it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be different.
Yeah. I have two potential fun ideas for what to do next. All right. I'm just so torn between them. One of them is a very classic sports radio bit that you guys are going to be like, oh, man, I've done this before, but it is really fun when you apply it to different teams.
Okay.
I think that might be what we do. We're just going to have some fun on a very casual Monday, getting back, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, opening weekend, heading into another series, you know, talking some NFL loosely here. And then what I need to know coming up at 45 after, you can get your questions in now, though, 866-979-3776. All that coming your way next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Sometimes on a day when it's just a little more low-key, as today is, it's March 1st, I'd like to just have a more traditional kind of sports radio
April
segment.
1st.
April 1st, that's what I said. A more
April
traditional,
Fools.
Yeah, April Fools. It's a more traditional segment. So I can guarantee you that you have heard the prompt that I'm about to ask you, but I'm going to change it up just a little bit. So you were talking about Tiki Barber and going back and forth with Saquon, and I was just remembering Tiki's tenure with New York and then thinking about where New York is now and how badly they could use a superstar. And I was thinking, oh, God, classic question. Which historic player would you pluck out of your franchise history and plop onto your current team in their prime to make the biggest difference? So we are obviously going to do that with the Seahawks, and it's going to be an exercise to really think about what they need this year. Like, what do they need? What positions do they need to improve? But I also want to take a look around the rest of the division and a few other teams around the league, and I thought that that would be really fun. So let's start with Seattle. You can pluck a player from Seahawks past, any era, any player, plop him in his prime onto this current team. Here's what I love about this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Your answer may not be one of the better Seahawks ever. It just may be what this team needs.
Yeah. And I know where exactly where I'm going with the Seahawks. I'm going Lofa Tatupu. You need Lofa out in that piece. Undersized linebacker who can do it all. Remember, Lofa went first 3 years in the league in the Pro Bowl. Lofa's got a few interceptions. Lofa was decent in coverage. He could tackle. I'm just looking at the linebacker spot and saying, all right, let's go Lofa. Now, I could have went a prime Bobby Wagner. We know he's going to be a Hall of Fame type of dude, but he just left, and mm-hmm, he's still in the league, or probably still going to be in the league. But I went with a linebacker. I want to go with Lofa Tatupu. You go ahead and hold down the second level. Get her done, son.
Like the answer. I will tell you that every answer so far, Cortez Kennedy being the number one answer, is looking to fix holes on this team that are obvious. Like, I would say that one of the more popular Seahawks of all time is Richard Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks don't need a first team All-Pro corner right now.
They're
I mean,
good.
Any team could use prime Richard Sherman. Mm-hmm. Sign me up. But where does this team struggle? Trenches.
Yep.
And on defense.
You can throw Steve Hutchinson in there, too, at the guard spot.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Throw Steve Hutchinson in there. I don't even know who's entirely competing at guard right now. So I'll take a Hall of Famer all day. 360 says Cam. Now, you do have some holes at safety. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I don't mind that choice.
If we're going safety, I'm going to just throw the homie in there, Paul Moyer.
Okay.
Paul Moyer, yay.
Now, is this out of loyalty? You would take Paul over prime Cam.
I'd take Paul over anybody.
Aww.
It's my guy. Great teammate. I think he had like 6 picks 1 year, maybe 7. If you're listening, Paul, correct me. But, yeah, he had himself a year.
425. Who said Dave Wyman? 425 says Dave Wyman. You don't mean that. It would be really fun to see prime Dave Wyman here. But I think that you look at either side of the offensive, defensive line. Like you said, linebacker, Loaf is a great answer. A couple defensive players, like, yeah, peak Sean Alexander or Kurt Warner or, heck, even, like, peak Russell Wilson would be fun additions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where I'm thinking most when it comes to this team.
What are you thinking?
Again, I'm thinking defensive.
Cam?
Yeah, I was down for, like a Cortez Kennedy kind of addition. I really like Steve Hutchinson once you said that, mm-hmm, as an answer. It's just so obvious that that could make the biggest difference with this team, and those are generational players.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look around some other teams in the NFC. I have the 49ers, and I really like this one because there are some very famous 49ers, but you got to make a tough decision in particular between two of them. Who did you choose?
You said in between two of them?
Well,
goodness.
Between many, 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 but two of the most famous, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
Yeah, but I'm not picking either of them. Joe Montana or Jerry Rice.
What?
So I'm just thinking what this team needs right now. Well, if you sign Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, you're good to go. They lost their best safety in Hufanga. So I'm saying either Ronnie Lott or Deion Sanders, who can play offense, defense, and special teams. It all depends on where you associate Deion with Atlanta, with the Niners or the Cowboys, or even Baltimore Ravens. You better not associate him with Baltimore Ravens. But I'm going Deion or Ronnie Lott. I think Ronnie Lott, man, played with he cut his finger off because he said, you know, I don't need that no more. As long as I can tackle, I'm good to go.
Ronnie Lott is a great answer. I was immediately thinking the big question for the 49ers that everyone has is, can Brock Purdy be that guy? So do you plop in? Now, you have many choices at quarterback, but do you plop in Joe Montana?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you take peak Jerry Rice, have some of the best offensive weapons in all of football, and then it doesn't really matter if Brock Purdy isn't a first-team All-Pro quarterback?
Mm-hmm. I see that.
I thought it was an interesting little conundrum.
Yep.
Let's go with the Rams.
Rams, you got a lot. You got Isaac Bruce. You got Kurt Warner. But I'm going Marshall Faulk, man. The guy who pretty much revolutionized the running back position there. Marshall Faulk can do a little bit of everything. You still got Kieran Williams, I think his name is, the running back for the Rams. He's going to be good, or was good last year. But no, you go Marshall Faulk all day. Marshall Faulk.
Can I count Aaron Donald?
You could.
I think the Rams are more competitive with peak Aaron Donald. But I think you're right. What's been missing from their game for a while is not being able to replace Gurley at his best. There was a minute when they had Gurley still, and it just like the wheels weren't turning on that offense.
Yeah,
like there was just something missing. But I think people always saw them as a team that used 11 personnel heavy and just turned away from running back. But Sean McVay has always been clear that what made that thing go was when Gurley was at his best, and that he wants to find that again. I think that's a perfect answer. Last one in the NFC West before I get to some other teams are the Cardinals.
Cardinals. I could cheat and go Emmitt Smith because he did play for the Cardinals, but we don't really put him with the Cardinals. I'm going Anquan Boldin, man. Anquan Boldin, when he was with the Cardinals in his prime, was vicious. And we know this team is looking for a wide receiver in this draft. They got Michael Wilson out of Stanford, who I think is going to be a good number two, number three receiver. But Anquan Boldin played the game as if he were a running back. It was not easy to take him down. Loved his time with the Arizona Cardinals.
I obviously went with Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitz, yeah.
I debated Kurt Warner. Like, I debated a quarterback move, but I think Kyler Murray still has something special there. Like, he's undersized. I've never been fully convinced he can be, like, the guy and that they can, like, win it all with him.
Yeah.
Mostly because this franchise feels cursed sometimes.
And Larry Fitz was the obvious one. I was just trying to, you know,
you were trying to be creative. I appreciate it.
I love Anquan's name.
Let's go with the Cowboys.
The Cowboys, there's so many to pick
from. I know.
From.
That's why I like this one.
It's ridiculous. They have weapons on offense for days. But they lost Tony Pollard. They're talking about bringing Ezekiel Elliott back. It's got to be Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith in his prime, behind one of the best offensive line of all time. And the Cowboys do a good job of keeping that offensive line pretty good. You go with Emmitt Smith. You give Dak Prescott Emmitt Smith and keep the weapons on the outside. I think he's good to go.
I debated looking at quarterback just because that's kind of what the conversation is. So, like, whether it's Roger Staubach, whether it's Troy Aikman, but you can make the case that based on just stats alone that Dak is up there too in a top five all time.
Can I say a little something?
Mm-hmm.
Troy Aikman might be one of the more overrated quarterbacks of all time.
I don't disagree with you.
Like, look at his numbers, they ain't really impressive.
You can make absolutely positively without a doubt a case for Dak over Troy.
Yeah, but granted, you had to win the big games and Troy did that. Stats wise, regular season, you're looking at Dak and those numbers, if not comparable, even better. But Troy did win big games, but he also had a whole bunch of talent around
him. That's exactly. And it's also what about a coach?
Coach? I'm taking Jimmy all day.
You know
day.
What I'm saying? I didn't
Jimmy
even think about
day.
That, but wait
yeah,
a minute.
That would have been fun.
What if part of the reason that the Cowboys continue to struggle, obviously Jerry Jones is like just this overlord that's constantly looking down, but like, it is so hard for me to figure out what keeps going wrong with this team.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much talent. And on
we know
every
what's
level,
wrong.
Well, yeah. Oversight.
Jerry.
Exactly.
It's freaking Jerry.
So maybe if there was a coach a little less under his thumb who could push back a little bit, I kind of like that as my answer.
Yeah. That's the right answer.
I had some other teams, but we're set with this. It was
Steelers,
a fun conversation.
I'm taking Troy Polamalu.
Okay, yes. I had Steelers as my last one. What I need to know, get your questions in. Any question you have to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. That's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
It's what I need to know, so send your question, any question, into the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. I love this one. What I need to know. If every NFL player had a camera attached to their helmet, which position would be the most interesting to watch the game from? Now, this person says you can't pick the easy answer. In other words, quarterback. I would want to pick quarterback, but if you're taking it out of here, Bump, what are you choosing?
I'm going safety. I'm going free safety. I want to be back of the field, looking at the box, looking at the corner, watching the football being thrown. Yeah, I'm going safety. I want to see as many things as possible. I'm going safety.
Okay, if I can't go quarterback, running back might be interesting depending on the type of running back you are. I don't think wide receiver or corner would be interesting. It's like I'm just looking downfield. I'm looking at the guy. I'm cutting over. I'm turning at the last second and seeing the ball, or maybe an amazing quarterback plops it right into my hands. I think running back if I can't choose quarterback.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would choose. What I need to know. I turn 30 tomorrow. What advice do you have for someone moving to, quote, the other side with a single tear emoji?
First, get some life insurance. You got a family. Make sure, you know, if things were to happen, God forbid, your peoples are good to go. Then I would say more, if you do work out, more functional training. Get away from just putting a bunch of weight on your back and squatting and getting under the bench and bench pressing a lot. You can still do those, but do movements that affect your day-to-day.
My advice is that I've had increased in anxiety about aging, particularly as a woman and particularly as a woman working in sports. However, I also think you get more confident. I think you care about less things. Like the sloppiness with which I have showed up to the grocery store is not anything that I would have done in my 20s. I think you appreciate more things. And this is also the thing. 30 to you right now seems like this big monumental thing. In 5 years, a 30-year-old is going to seem young. So it's always relative. I guarantee you, our average listeners older than that, I guarantee you most people listening are thinking, oh, you're so young.
Yeah.
You're so young. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you guys have advice, you can send it in. I'll read it for our listener. Curtis, did you have anything?
We kind of talked about this before the show, but like that diet has got to change.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
that
slam.
That metabolism will quit hard on you.
Yeah, you can't slam four burgers. You can't slam a large pizza all at once.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. What I need to know. If all were bachelors now, who would navigate dating the best? Brock, Salk, or Bump?
Probably Brock.
You think Brock?
Because he's like,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
He's like, you know, I'm a little rough around the edges, you know?
I think
Brock ain't rough around the edges.
That's what I'm saying. I think that would be a hindrance. I think he's very old school.
I don't think he could handle the dating apps.
I don't know that he'd be all over the apps.
Because that's how you meet people these days.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to say Bump.
I think so too.
Man.
And then Salk and Brock.
We're not going to test this theory.
I'm going in reverse order.
Right, we ain't testing it, thank God.
Thankfully, all are happily married and no one's testing this theory. Let's see what I need to know. Which revenge game are you most looking forward to? Like Saquon versus the Giants, Derrick Henry versus the Titans, or Russell Wilson versus Denver?
Wow, this guy is just running back the four down territory. I'm going Steelers, Broncos all day, man. And specifically Russell Wilson being the quarterback for the Steelers.
What I need to know. If you can choose an NFL team from the 90s, which would you choose? Not the Seahawks.
No, God, no. They were so bad.
I mean, you got some good choices.
The best
49ers,
teams, Cowboys, Niners, the Falcons were good. The Broncos were good.
Packers were good.
I think Cowboys.
Cowboys?
It's between that.
That was back when they were the cool team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were definitely the most interesting Buffalo.
You know what?
If you love an underdog story.
I'm going Atlanta Falcons, man. They seem just like a fun time with Jamal Anderson at the running back spot. Yeah.
Someone said, keep enjoying life. Develop activities now, as Bump said, that will help you maintain good health and enjoy a good glass of wine as well. Let's say this one, what I need to know. So this one was for me. Would you rather be 5 feet tall or 6 feet tall? I'm going to exaggerate it for you guys. Would you rather be 4 feet tall or 7 feet tall?
Come on, 7 feet.
7 feet.
See, that's the thing.
I'd be posting up against Zach Edey.
Exactly. I'm trying to Wembanyama, what's good?
It would just be weird to be 7 feet tall, though.
I'd rather be too tall than too small, if there is such thing.
Let's see what I need to know. If you're willing to say it, Bump, which Washington golf course is most overrated?
Oh,
no, you can't be ready. You can't be going back. Yeah, you can't be going back here because they're going to listen.
Overrated? Man, I would have to say.
Is it Chambers?
Nah, Chambers is worth every penny. I would say the home course. I think it's a bit overrated.
The home course?
It's still a nice course, but yeah.
What's the home course?
It's down south. Salk actually plays there a lot. Yeah. It's still a good course, though. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
See you next week.
You're like, I'm not leaving. I'm still coming back. Get your questions in 866-9793. Oh, no. Don't do it, actually, because I'm hitting break. All right, you guys. That will do it for us today. Don't forget Emerson Hancock on the mound. As Bump and I said, hopefully he gets not minimal run support. Let's call it maximal run support for Emerson Hancock. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.